Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BCNN1's The Gospel According to Greenleaf, episode number 16. The title for today's episode is When the Pastor's Wife Commits Adultery, and When Adultery Hits a Christian Couple, Should They Stay Together? Over the past two episodes of Greenleaf, Revival and Point of No Return, a major revelation regarding Lady May Greenleaf came to light. In Revival, Bishop Lionel Jeffries, comes to Calvary during the church's fall revival. And it quickly becomes apparent that he and Lady May share a secret from their past, a secret about adultery. In Point of No Return, Lionel Jeffries' son, Aaron, who is moving into the Greenleaf estate for some reason, reveals that he knows about Lady May's affair, or rather adultery, with his father, telling her, "I'll never tell anyone about you and Dad." What would be the point? He said, "I'll never tell anyone about you and Dad. What would be the point?" A very strange statement. His words echo his father's from the prior episode, when his father said, "I didn't come here to cause you any trouble." Lady May tells Lionel, "You think I should have run off with you when I had the chance?" That whole thing was a mistake. Greenleaf is dealing with a situation that is not often spoken about in our churches today, but the truth of the matter is, just like we have some whore-mongering pastors in the church, we have some whorish pastors' wives as well in the church. Oh yes, we have some Jezebels in the church, having sex with others that they're not married to. And it's a secret, just like in Greenleaf. And it's a lie. And they're living a lie. For oftentimes, the so-called First Lady does not want that revealed, because oftentimes it is another woman's husband in the church. And the bishop does not want it revealed either, because it will make him look bad. But a lie is a lie is a lie, and it's going to end up making everybody look bad. Anyway, in an interesting juxtaposition of events, the latest episode also finds May counseling her daughter, Charity, who is getting closer to her music producer in an intimate fashion, against ending her marriage with Kevin, who has some homosexual inclination issues. In only the way that Lady May can say it, she tells Charity that it is better to let her marriage bend instead of break. She says so much that it is knotted up like seaweed from a swamp, but not to let it break. Because once it is broken, that's a very bad situation. Apparently, she knows what she is talking about. While adultery by either party in a marriage is to be condemned and avoided, whether that couple is in leadership or not, and while the offending party should confess, tell the truth, and seek forgiveness, some question whether a married man or woman should leave their spouse. Some have criticized wives who do, as Tammy Wynette said in her song, stand by her man after an adulterous affair is revealed, or an adulterous relationship is revealed. Some men feel like they will appear weak if they stay with a woman who has committed adultery. But what does God's word say about it? When the Jews came to Jesus seeking or asking him whether divorce was lawful for any reason, Jesus said, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." This presumably includes the man or woman with whom the adulterous party had relations. When the Jews pressed Jesus on the matter, pointing out that Moses made provisions in the law for divorce, Jesus said, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." In other words, divorce was never a part of God's plan. In fact, later on in the Old Testament, God tells the world he hates a divorce, and he hates what it does. Moses only allowed it because he knew that man in his sin and rebellion would not abide by God's plan, his original plan. And we all know the horror stories of marriages broken up and children being destroyed. Jesus goes on to say, "Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, that is adultery, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, And whoso marrieth her which is put away doeth commit adultery. This statement was aimed at those men who believed they could divorce their wives for any flimsy reason, such as irreconcilable differences, as was allowed in those days. Of course, back then, only men could go to a judge asking for a divorce. Without a father or husband to back them up, women had no representation before the law. Jesus is not saying that a man should divorce his wife or that a woman should divorce her husband if they commit adultery. He is simply saying that under what should be the rare circumstance of adultery, it is allowed. That being said, the church is called to a higher law, if you will, the law of mercy, forgiveness, and grace. Jesus, our Savior, speaks of himself as the bridegroom or the husband of the church. The bride. Has the church been perfect? Have you been perfect? Down through the centuries, we have gone after false doctrine and heretical teachings. The bride is not pure. We have not always obeyed God, have we? Have you? We have not always loved God back, have we, Christian friend? Or loved our neighbors as ourselves? You know we haven't done that. We have not lived up to the standards set by the Lord in his life on this earth, have we? You know the answer. We have committed spiritual adultery, putting money, career, education, worldly acceptance, people before him. Time and time again, we have been guilty of adultery, and some of us as Christians are living in adultery right now. But does he divorce us? Does he say, you are not my bride? No, he loves us, forgives us, he chastises us, doesn't he? Rebukes us. Breaks fellowship, but he doesn't break the marriage from time to time and abides with us still. Yes, there will be rough times, but if we are truly his, we will ultimately return to him, confess our sins, seek his face, seek his forgiveness, and he will still regard us as his own. In the same way, Christian husbands and wives ought to do all that is within their power to follow Jesus' example and stay with their spouse till death, not adultery. Till death do them part. Of course, this will require that both parties be honest and tell the truth. Be honest with each other about unconfessed adultery. Don't keep it a secret like Lady May. We hope that Lady May takes that advice. Don't lie about it like Lady May. Don't live a lie like Lady May is doing. The truth of the matter is most divorces happen not because of adultery, but because of the lies and dishonesty about the adultery. As they say, it's always the cover-up about the sin, not the actual sin. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness. your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. Lord, let there be nothing between our Savior and our hearts. Help us not to be liars, dishonest, and deceitful. When we mess up, help us to confess up no matter what might happen. For your glory, praise, and honor, that we never live a lie, so that our consciences can be clear and we can be fit for your use again to tell others about your grace and your salvation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And then, beloved, in closing, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be forgiven of your wicked sins of the past, no matter how dark. God is available to hear your prayer of confession and to hear you ask to be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is eternal hell and separation from God. And you can begin a light-filled relationship with God Almighty today. First, beloved, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have done some bad things. You have broken the commandments of God, and so have I, and so has the Pope. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, beloved, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Every time we die physically because of sin, and we go to hell to burn forever, to be tormented forever because of our sin. God does not put us into hell. We put ourselves into hell because of our sin. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ, the loving Lord of glory, preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now that is bad news, and I know most people do not want to hear any bad news. But you have to hear the bad news, because the good news is good news because there is bad news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Perish where? Perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe, dear friend, in your heart, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for your sins and for mine. He died on the cross for our sins here. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, your sins and mine. And all we have to do is trust in him and believe in him, and believe that he died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you and me, so that we can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart, dear friend, today, and he will. And please believe these words found in Romans 10:9, and 13. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin and the punishment of sin, which is hell. And so, dear friend, if you believe right now in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. Even some of the sins that are being brought out in this show called Greenleaf. I am sorry for my sins. And today, Holy Father God, please have mercy upon me, a sinner. I believe with all of my heart that you died for me, was buried, and rose again. Now, Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you for the rest of my life. For your glory, praise, and honor. And from this point on, be the shining light you want me to be. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Beloved friend, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from sin and hell, and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you. We look forward to seeing you for the next Gospel According to Greenleaf podcast.